Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that kiss. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Welcome. This is brother Jay and this is Drew. And in this episode of our podcast, we will be without brother E, but Drew and I will be discussing the 2018. Netflix movie, Anon, starring Clive Owen and Amanda Seyfried. I don't even know if I say her name right.
They'll know who you're talking about.
And then a bunch of other people that look really familiar.
The dude who's been in everything with the very Irish sounding name.
Morgan Allen.
I was thinking about Colm Feore. Feore?
Oh.
That was his boss, right?
Yeah, I believe that was his boss. I think you're right. So, at any rate, so I think this was my pick, right?
This was your pick.
Yeah, so I saw this. I was strolling through the vast library of Netflix looking for something interesting that I hadn't seen yet that might capture my attention. And, of course, since I'm a sci-fi geek, this, of course, spoke to me, which is a little funny. We'll talk about that later. But, and so I figured, you know, an hour 40 is probably not a bad run for a movie, although the movie was actually only an hour and 33 minutes. But with credits and everything else, it's an hour 40. So it was actually a shorter movie. But since it's science fiction-y and future-y, I'm all about it. So I decided to give it a try. So I watched it last night.
Now, was this a Netflix original?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's wild because it's got a great pedigree. You know, it's got A-list actors. It's got it's written and directed by, you know, kind of a sci-fi movie legend, the dude who wrote and directed Gattaca.
Oh, that's funny because it looks very, it has the same atmosphere.
Yeah, it could be set like in the same world. But yeah, but I'd never heard of it. This is just one of those weird movies that, you know, should be a top tier movie that just gets buried on Netflix.
Yeah, it was a K5 Film Media Group. Distributed by Netflix, so it looks like this is a Netflix flick, as it were. Filmed predominantly in Germany, this says. I don't know how accurate. This is all from Wikipedia, so, you know, Wikipedia and IMDb might be right.
Oh, I didn't know Germany. That's really funny, because they keep going back to this shot in the movie of when he returns home, and it's a shot of his street.
The street.
And it looks exactly like a place we visited when we went to Germany. I think it was in Rotenburg, and it's this really awesome looking bit of architecture where the road, there's a fork in the road, and it kind of curves to the left in one plane, and then there's the other fork really goes down this hill to the right, but then there are buildings on the side and in the middle. And it's a really striking feature. I actually bought an art print of that scene. And so every time they return to that shot in the movie, you know, it's a very, it's a futurized version of that. Every time I saw it, I was like, that looks exactly like that place in Germany.
And they return to that shot many times.
Yeah, they do. It's beautiful.
The whole movie is beautiful. I mean, the whole thing is sparkling and pristine, and it's very, everything is immaculate and concrete and gray, or it's all gray tones, right? Mm-hmm. It's very black and white. There's color, but everything on the outside is kind of black and white, and everything on the inside is very colorful. So I don't know if that was kind of a metaphor they were going with, but that's one of the things I noticed. But that shot of him driving home, it just was striking. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the movie, it's striking. But then realizing that all the cars are classic reproductions.
Like muscle cars,
In the premise of the book, or the premise of the movie, I mean. Yeah. And so they're all hydrogen fuel cell, though. That was the one thing that the movie pointed out. So in this environment, you have some kind of eye implant that basically feeds you augmented reality of everything. And everything is connected, and you can share things and recall things seemingly infinitely. So... And so everything is able to be viewed, especially by, we meet our main character, Sal, who is a police officer. You're introduced to the fact that he can recall things and share things. And he has access, of course, because he's a cop.
Yeah. So as a police officer, he has access to everybody's files.
Yeah. So in the movie, when it opens, what do they call them? Like ocular implants, I think.
I don't even remember what they called them.
But everyone's equipped with these. So everybody gets to see this augmented reality. And in the book, I keep saying book. I just read about 30 minutes on Nietzsche. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Because it's one of the things that distracted me about this movie. But I will circle back. See, I'm derailing myself. I'm interrupting myself already. It's just like Brother E's still here.
It's not as fun a game when you interrupt yourself.
Yeah, because I lose track of where I was. But seemingly, the movie kind of displays that you can turn off the elements of augmented reality that you're seeing, but everybody's data is everywhere, at least for the cop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as he's walking through the city, you see, like, this person is a child molester, and this person is a stockbroker, and this person, you know, even had the names of the dog and the breed of the dog and products. When he walked up to products, it would give the name and brand of the products. When he walked by a window with watches in it, you could actually project the watch onto what it looked like on him. And this is where he walks past a woman who comes up with error not found. So it's pretty unusual, and he notices it because it's unusual, because nobody should be anonymous. Nobody should be not found. So he does a double take, and she still has an error, and she kind of glitches out, and he kind of dismisses it and goes on to his work at the police station. And you see him in an interrogation room, and then you get some more master exposition kind of how this universe works, where he's in a room with seemingly someone like a trainee cop, but also some people who are either complainants or some kind of involvement with crimes. And so they're either involved in a crime or being interrogated or whatnot. And there's a few little scenes of interrogations about showing how the process works, sharing files, looking through other people's files through their eyes, as it were. I thought that was a pretty effective establishment for the universe.
Yeah, so we find out that kind of everybody has every minute of their life recorded into the cloud, essentially. They call it the ether. But everybody is connected to the cloud. Everybody's data is saved to the cloud, so it can be accessed and reviewed at any time. You have your own set of files, so you save your memories as files, and you can access those as well. It's kind of a bleak projection of what kind of cloud and wearable technology could lead us.
And during the interrogations, we see how he didn't like one of the women that he was interrogating, and so the memory that she shows, and then he projects to her the footage from the maid, where supposedly the maid stole the jewelry, and he says, "Nope, see, she didn't do it." Except that after that happened, turns out the maid did do it. He just didn't show her that because he didn't like her.
Yeah. So it already shows you how unreliable the technology can be if used improperly.
Yeah, it's easily manipulated. So it's all still a matter of perspective. Just like if you interviewed witnesses, it would be a matter of how much information and truth you actually got.
Mm-hmm. Also, why would anybody in this world commit crimes?
That's the thing.
Like, especially exactly one where you're looking at what you're doing.
This movie has some issues with the technology. It's a fair point.
I did enjoy sort of the visual. I don't even know how to describe it because I'm not a film guy, but the visual storytelling device that they use to show you the real world versus when you're looking through one of the implants, because they change the aspect ratio. So when you're looking through the implant, it takes up your entire 16:9 screen. And then, but when it's the real world, it's a more, it's a more rectangular perspective. So you get the litter box on the top bottom. I don't know if that's going from like a 1.85 to a 2.3. I don't know. But yeah, so they changed aspect ratios when you were looking through the device or when you were in the real world.
I didn't even notice that. Huh, that's fascinating.
It's a trick they use on Westworld, too.
Well, it's a good effect. I liked this movie, clearly. I mean, I liked it. It had some problems, but I liked it. So I think I was able to easily get caught up in this movie. So I did take notes, but it didn't tear it apart like if I had hated it. So I don't know if this will be a gooder episode or not, but I'll just cut to the chase. I found this enjoyable. I'm going to watch it again, but just the universe and aesthetic is something, like, even though it's a sinister future, I would love to be in that environment. If nothing else, just for the beauty of, you know, the beauty of everything was so clean and everything was, I mean, there was a lot of emphasis on retro classic things that were reproductions. Everybody seemed to appreciate it. But also that sinister overreaching, the man controls everything because everything is now, there's nothing personal. Nothing can be private,
right,
per se.
But yeah, you mentioned clean lines. You don't really get a really terrific view of it until the end of the movie, but the girl's apartment looked amazing. Like the big open loft apartment with all the rectangular furniture, with her bed like right in the middle, and then a big rectangular divider, and then a bathtub behind it right in the middle of the room with another rectangular like privacy divider. Like, that was an amazing looking apartment.
And a lot of, I think all of the environment, all of the apartments were very interesting. And so you were brought to the first murder of the, was he the stockbroker? I've got a synopsis here. Let's see. The synopsis just skips right over. It doesn't even talk about it. I think his name was Clay, right?
I don't remember. But yeah, he was involved in some financial shenanigans.
And we see that his boss, Sal's boss, says, "This is weird." And Sal's like, "Well, why don't we know who killed him?" And Sal's like, "Well, let me show you." And as it turns out, something has gone wrong in the recording. And the victim doesn't see out the victim's eyes. The victim ends up seeing out the murderer's eyes. And so the file that you see is the victim being murdered. And so you don't see who does the murdering. But you do see him get killed. And then it's almost iconic how the end of file is just like, means you're dead. It means that there are no more memories from this person.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. I love the end of File effect, because it's actually like the vehicles, it's very retro. And I don't know how many people will actually get this, but it's got that like fade out to the bright circle, right? Like old TVs when you turn them off.
Exactly. Yep. The old tube TVs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other graphic effects that I really, there's a lot of effort to incorporate future technology as imagined, I suspect. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like the door unlocking code devices they use, 'cause they use a PIN numbering system to open unlock doors, but everyone's is different.
Right.
And so like the stockbroker had, I think it was five numbers, and there were five numbers, but they also had up and down pins. So he could have the, you know, one through five, but it was not one through five. It was one up, two down, three. So there was some pattern of numbers. So it was fascinating to kind of see that technology. But
yeah, because it didn't have to be a 2D passcode. It was essentially three dimensional.
Right. Okay. Everything, because it's all just projected in your brain.
Yeah. And it's like the like craziest extrapolation of like opening doors with your Apple Watch.
There we go.
Now you're doing it with your mind and an eye implant.
Which would be so efficient. It's so it's so tantalizing to think about. And creepy at the same time and invasive, of course, but still, how much just not having to use your hands, being able to multitask, really multitask. Being able to read and walk, although people would still walk into things, I'm sure. But anyway, we're in this dude's apartment. He gets murdered. But you see some of the footage before where he's in the apartment. He comes in, he throws his briefcase on the counter. He pours a glass of wine. And he's reading Nietzsche in German. So this is, have you ever read Also Sprach Zarathustra?
No.
Okay. I have read parts of it, and I've listened to the, was it Strauss, I think, put it to some kind of musical thing, made it interpreted. Anyway, I don't understand, unless maybe it was created in two volumes, because he had one copy on the counter, but he was reading a copy of it, because what he was reading was chapter 12 or 13, so, and it was in German, so I had to figure it out which one it was, but so I don't understand. That kind of really took me out of the movie because I was trying to figure out what that was. It was just misdirection, is what it was. But it was one of those things that like my little ADHD brain was like, "What is this thing? This is a clue," and it wasn't.
It's just been a continuity error.
Well, no, because I mean there are two. I mean, there's deliberately two books. One's closed on the counter, and then he's reading through one. So. I mean, I don't know that it was an error. It was one of the things that took me out of the movie. But at any rate, digress. So apparently this isn't the first type of this glitch that the police department has seen. And it's unclear, first of all, it's unclear where this movie is set. They never say, do they?
No.
So you never know where this place is.
The city.
It's just a city, right? And the interesting thing is there's clearly, I mean, some of people have British accents and some people have very American accents. So it's a very metropolitan, multicultural melting pot of a city. But you see the police force, and they're very eclectic, although there was not a lot of women. But the police are kind of discussing about, well, we've had a case before, but we just assumed it was a glitch. But now we know it's not really a glitch. Somebody did this on purpose. And so they decide that Sal's going to go pseudo undercover. And so they have to basically pony up some fake digital files for Sal so they can ensnare one of these hackers who they think is doing this. And so, because he is associating that the hacker is the woman that he saw.
Yeah. Which, and boy, does he go undercover. It does not take much convincing from him, but he fully commits. He is doing drugs, having sex with suspects.
Later he does that. The drugs are later, but
it's like, I gotta maintain my cover.
Yeah. But also, the other thing, everybody's smoking in this movie.
Yeah, I noticed
that. So far in the future, and everybody's smoking
everywhere.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird choice. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know what that added to the story. It didn't need to be there. I mean, I don't really care, but it was just one of those things like, why that? Because there was lots of drinking too. Mm-hmm. There's lots of alcohol in this movie, which is fine. I'm not like alcohol.
Do you smoke much anymore?
Not a lot since the whole throat cancer thing. So a couple times a year, maybe special occasions. I haven't much in the last couple of years, but if I ever have a good cigar and a good reason, I will. I will indulge.
I think the last time I smoked a cigar, you were in my backyard with me.
Was that in the summertime or wintertime?
Summertime.
That would have been 2 years ago then, right?
Yep. It's been a while.
When I sunburned the fork out of my feet.
Yeah. But yeah, so I see people smoking now. I'm like, man, I miss smoking.
My doctor, my ear, nose, and throat guy was like, knock it off. And I was like, well, but maybe just goes sparingly, very sparingly. Yeah,
what's the real threshold, doctor?
Yeah. Because I said, well, you know, I never did it much anyway, but like, you know, once a year, twice a year. He's like, I don't want to see you again. That's what he said. He goes, I don't want to take any more of your money. So how about you just lay off for a while? So I said, so once a year? He goes, I guess, you know, once a year. So I try to behave. Usually I'm good about it because, you know, here in Portland, in the summertime, it's too hot to do it outside. In the wintertime, it's too wet. So, and so I don't really do it outside the house. And, you know, smoking a cigar in my nasty garage is, you know, not high on my list of things I want to do. And I'm sure as hell not going to smoke in the house because, holy moly, that. Anyway.
Yeah. I now have children who are old enough to shame me for it.
Well, you know, that's how seatbelts became a thing, right?
It works.
The whole generation of kids shaming their parents into wearing seatbelts. No, I'm sure it does work. Oh, I wrote down one of the things at this part of the movie. Stargazing would be amazing with the augmented reality. That would just be it blew my mind when he was looking up at the stars. Anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't obvious. I assume it was easy, but it wasn't obvious to me how easy it was to turn it off if you didn't want to see it. They showed a suicide, which was very, very jolting. And the guy who was about to jump off the building, he did turn not his implant off, but he, like, all the augmented reality part of it off.
I don't think you can turn the implant off. I think that's the whole Big Brother thing. But because Sal turns his off later too, mm-hmm. when he gets later on, but, and then, so the cops are talking and they make the point. One of the cops says, it actually gave me goosebumps. He said, and I quote, "We require persistent identity," which is okay. So now this is the reality of the society that this whole existence is contained in, that it's not so much Big Brother is all brother. Like, yeah. it's all government or seemingly government. I mean, I assume it's the government, but. Some institution or some kind of facility is all-knowing, all-being, and tracking and policing. And although they call themselves, I think, investigators or cops, it's never clear what their department is called because you never see the names of the buildings. You never see badges. They don't wear uniforms. You see a uniformed officer later, but it's not identified what kind of officer he is, so... But then I wrote down, he sure has a lot of sex. So there's a fair bit of sex in this movie. But anyway, Sal gets a 30-day, what they think they said, like a 30-day history of stockbroker footage. And they have his digital guru guy, the character who I really liked.
Lester.
I really liked Lester. Mm-hmm. I would watch a movie of just Lester. Although I guess not, as the case is going to be later, but I really like Lester. So, with Lester's help and the team, Sal creates this fake identity of 30 days, and they help kind of fill in his stockbroker. He's on the floor with a bunch of people. He hooks up with a prostitute so that he can have that erased, supposedly, because he doesn't want that with his girlfriend knowing or finding out. And so he posts on an anonymous message board, or a message board, I guess, for an anonymous person. And then he kind of scrolls through some, he meets up with some different hackers potentially, and he knows what, he seems to be able to suss out who is who, and quickly determines who isn't, who it isn't.
Well, he's looking for the girl.
Exactly. And then do we find out before or after does he call his wife? His ex-wife?
I thought it was before he went undercover, because he was still at his apartment.
So we get this, we get him flashing back or reviewing or rewinding or replaying videos of his son, who we don't know exactly what happened, but I think very quickly we know the son is dead. I mean, yes. That was pretty obvious from the get-go. And they have an estranged relationship, and his ex-wife has moved on, and she's got a husband who doesn't like Sal, and Sal doesn't like him, so that's fine.
Yeah, and what really struck me about the technology in that scene was, I think it was the first time I actually like noticed it enough to articulate it to myself. Because of the implant, and because they are just automatically connected to the cloud, they don't have phones. No one has a phone.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because when he calls his wife to do the actual FaceTime, he literally has to be looking in a mirror so she can see him.
I didn't even think about that. But that makes sense.
Yeah.
Why would you need your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would be tracked everywhere. Mm-hmm. But think about that heads-up display when you're driving.
Seems very distracting.
Well, I assume you would adapt to it like anything. Besides, you'd have at that point you'd have a self-driving car, right?
Yeah. You would think.
So Sal manages to snag the hacker, and
isn't that a euphemism?
And so she meets. They meet. Where did they meet? Somewhere, right?
Like at a park that had no vegetation. But there's a fountain.
And then they kind of talk it up. And he's a little awkward, though. He's a little clumsy in his interrogation. But, you know, he manages to seal the deal and get her, with enough banter, comes back to the apartment and talks about what he wants done. And she explains to him that she has a special way of getting through things and basically getting rid of data, which is how she hides herself, but she knows how to get rid of things and hide things. And she's very skilled at it. But she promises that she will not look at anything he doesn't want her to.
And the whole game here is they wanted to get her back to his apartment because Lester was close by in another apartment. So Lester could hack her and start to trace her.
Because she was using these layers of proxy to kind of insulate herself.
Yeah, so it's a fancy way of one of those scenes where they have to keep him on the line to trace the call.
It was just a big excuse to keep showing the Fibonacci sequence.
Of course.
So that was the thing that I noticed. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, that's the gimmick you're going to use? Like, this whole movie is constructed just to show off the Fibonacci sequence. So anyway, that's like a nerd thing that I know that. I'm so sad. let's see. What else? And Lester says, I didn't get enough. You know, we didn't get enough time, didn't get enough through, but, you know, maybe a little more time, maybe a little better connection. And so they kind of decide they're going to try again.
They got enough to, like, hack into her implant. So they could see what she sees. But yeah, they couldn't get enough to get into her like files, right? Her history.
Right. And then turns out she changes her proxies constantly. So they only got to see for a little while. And then she turned it off and switched the next however long. And then they no longer had a connection because she just moved on somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Which is you know, I suppose if you're a hacker, that's a good way to hide. And then,
but we get our first, example of what surveillance actually is in this world. And surveillance is hacking into somebody's implant so you see their eyes. And it is just people in a room watching with their implant. So they're just, it looks like they're just sitting, staring in space, but in their mind, they are connected to somebody else's eyes and they're just sitting there watching.
It's kind of efficient.
Super creepy though. It's like this.
Oh
this
yeah. Oh no. Ultra, it's creepy.
Ultra voyeuristic way of tracking somebody.
Yeah. Is there another? There's another murder, right? The lesbian couple gets murdered.
Oh, that's right.
And we have a kind of a tense scene where, again, it looks like this anonymous, this anon girl, is killing these people after their clients, and it doesn't make sense to anybody, but that's what it looks like. They're kind of, the setup is like she's doing this for some reason. She's coming back and killing her clients for some reason at some point.
I think ostensibly to cover her tracks, but yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense when you think about it too hard.
Right. These people are clients. They gave her money. Job's done. It's not in her interest to kill them, but yeah, she's killing them anyway. So
really the entire final 35 minutes of this movie doesn't make any sense.
Oh no. Yeah, no. No, there's a good hour of setup and then they just, I don't know what happened. Cause it was really up to that point where the story turned, I was with it. Absolutely. I was like, this is, like, I don't know where it's going, but I like it. And then so you see some other, like they showed the art dealer getting murdered, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's other things that are the murder, but basically Sal gets her to come back for a second time by wanting her to erase now this stupid drug deal, right? That he picks up cocaine from a dealer on the corner, and it's all kind of engineered just to get her to hang out.
Yeah, but so you find out how criminals actually do crimes. Like, how are there still illegal drug dealers? It's because they do it blind.
Which is genius.
It sounds very tricky, but yeah.
Well, dark sunglasses, right? You can't see out. Although you'd think the augmented reality would know where you were, because it's probably GPS or location-based. But right. Anyway, well, again, that was one of the things where the technology was like, I think you thought this through. But
there's a throwaway line later where his boss said, you turned off your meta, which I assume meant that he was able to turn off his tracking part of the implant and all of that associated metadata.
Gotcha. Yeah, I do remember that part. So him and Anon are in the apartment for a second time. And she's like, well, you know, okay, cut some lines while I take care of this. Which was, again, another odd choice. So they get all high and goofed out and then hump it out, right? Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of, purportedly, seemingly it's a lot of sex. I mean, you know, he likes multiple positions. He's a versatile guy, so.
It's a lot of sex for a guy who seemingly has no game and barely emotes.
Yeah, he's pretty flat.
He's lucky he's got that just like really chiseled, manly face.
Something. Mm-hmm. He must have like a 12-inch personality. So, and then she realizes as he toddles off to the bathroom, she's kind of reviewing some things about his work. And I don't know why she's looking back, but she's looking. And then she realizes halfway through, there's a glitch.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she looks in the glitch and she sees that... she goes back to a scene of the opening of the film where he's going to work and he sees one of the police officers.
Yeah, and yeah. The glitch is of the uniformed officer that he saw.
Mm-hmm. And so she's out of there, right? She splits. And then as she splits, he's puttering around and then you hear gunshot. and she's gone, and Sal runs out to chase after her because he doesn't know about the gunshot. And then he sees the apartment next door, is the door is open, and Lester has been shot and killed. And so he's obviously distressed, so he chases her down, right? Is this the subway scene?
Mm-hmm.
So he chases her after her to the subway, and she uses some hackery. I don't even know if that's a word, but she uses some hacking to basically tricks him into seeing things that aren't there or not seeing things that are there. So he trips down some stairs. So I thought this was kind of brilliant. This is a whole brilliant premise. He doesn't know what he's seeing. She's able to make a fake train car, fake subway car full of people mm-hmm. that isn't there that he's looking at so that he's standing in the path of the subway that is coming that hits him, which is just terrifying when you think about it, that somebody would have the ability to plant stuff in your brain. Like, you wouldn't be able to trust anything ever.
I thought this part of the hackery was actually way more terrifying than later in the movie when they're showing like zombies and dogs and flames attacking him, because that stuff obviously wasn't real and he knew it wasn't real. But things like changing the slope of the stairs, how they look, just enough so that he trips down them, that is terrifying.
Well, the elevator car that's not really there.
Right. But I don't know how they would get the door to open.
Well, seemingly if she's able to hack things, but yeah, I don't know. But I don't know about you, though, but being in a room full of rats, even though if intellectually you know it's fake, I don't know. It's the same reason people go to those horror houses, I just forgot what they're called. Every Halloween, the scary places. There's a name. I have no eloquence right now.
A haunted house.
Haunted houses, yeah. Thank you.
but I think once you know that's happening, you would be able to kind of wrap your mind around trying to ignore it. But, you know, just slight changes in what you're seeing that you wouldn't be able to detect, that would be truly unsettling.
Of course. Your equilibrium, you could fall downstairs, you could jump into an open manhole cover, you could, you know, anything. I mean, tons of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As we show later when he drives off and he thinks it's fine for him to pull out into traffic.
Yeah.
So there's lots of little fun applications, but she really fucks with him. She is pissed. So she is going to take it all out on him. She's not pleased that she feels very played.
And then she goes even further because she starts deleting his files, including the files of his dead son.
Except the file of when his son's actually killed.
Right.
And then she keeps replaying that and making him watch it. Which is some sinister, devilish, demonic stuff. That is like some hateful, terrible. I mean,
yeah, that's just mean.
It is pretty mean. That was rough. But basically then, after she has her tantrums, she kind of convinces Sal that this isn't the reality that he thinks is reality isn't reality. It's a different reality. There's multiple different realities. And she says she's being framed. It's not her doing this. She says she's not killing these people. But Sal ends up getting basically suspended because of his shenanigans and Lester being killed. So,
well, he's also framed for the murder of the guy in the hallway.
Yes, his neighbor in the apartments. So he ends up basically being under surveillance by his own institution, and he manages to escape to go see Anon by walking through everything with his eyes closed, which I thought was pretty smart.
It was smart. It was silly though. Yeah, he pretended to fall asleep and then blindly made his way out of the house.
That'd be really hard to do because I've tried to keep my eyes closed just because I don't want to see things and I'm trying to fall asleep. And that they never work. So you can't keep your eyes closed that long, but whatever. He knocks the... Is this where he knocks the guy unconscious? Or is this where she...
Sitting in the car.
Because there's one point she also sends all the cops away, right?
Yes.
So there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this movie. It's not really important, though. I mean, the details are not as important. But basically, he ends up at her apartment, right?
Yes.
And she's trying to explain to him that she didn't do this. And he really, he's not sure that he believes her. And so I think that that's when he gets suspended the second time, right? Because after that, she escapes, right. And the boss is like, "Are you kidding? where is she?"
Mm-hmm.
So then he's completely suspended, and then finally we get to the. I think we have that wrenching scene at some point in here, and none of this is in the continuity of the movie, but who cares, right? Where he calls his wife, and he's like, "Can you send me files of the kid?"
Oh yeah, that was the morning after when she started. After she figured out he was a cop and then she started going through and deleting his files, he has to call his wife and ask her to send him the files and finds out that hers have been deleted too. Mm. She doesn't seem nearly as broken up about it as he is, though.
Well, she very early it establishes she doesn't want to remember. She says that. She goes, it's over. I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, I've moved on. You need to move on too. So... which I didn't realize was as much foreshadowing as it was, but
and that was Penny from Lost, right?
I never watched Lost.
Oh,
I've seen her in other things, lots of other things.
Man, I was working my way up to an awesome not Penny's Boat reference, but you won't even care.
I have watched the first two episodes of Lost. I wanted to watch Lost because it seems like something that's in my wheelhouse, but. By the second episode, I was so irritated with it that I couldn't continue.
Oh no, Lost is great. Like the peak of Lost is truly outstanding. But
and the peak is what, like the fourth out of seven seasons?
No, there's for the most part, I think there's several episodes a season that I would consider peak Lost, but. It was back in the day when, you know, network shows were 22 episodes a season. And that was just too many. But, man, there were some all-timers with Lost.
Well, they also suffered from the writer's strike in there, too.
Yeah, and they didn't have an end point. So I think they kind of ran out of, like, plot after a couple seasons. And then it was such a huge hit, so... They're kind of figuring it on the fly, which is never good for a mystery show.
Yeah, I think I heard the interview with the writers after like the second season. ABC was like, yeah, we want more seasons. And so like, okay, we'll write a couple more. And they're like, five. We want five more seasons. And the writers are like, I don't think we can write. But like, where are we going to go? So apparently that's the batshittery that happened is that they didn't have anywhere to go. So they just kind of, it's kind of like Heroes. To make an equation. Heroes first season is amazing.
That was great. First season was great.
Yeah. You should just stop at season one and never watch the rest of it because the rest of it's just hot garbage. The second season was completely writer's strike and it was awful. The third one's a little bit okay, but then the fourth one, like by the fourth season, they're not even following their own canon. Like they're not even following the rules that they set up in their own universe. That really irritated me. So
I loved the first season of Heroes, and I could not even make it through the second season. And I'm a completionist.
I completed it, but not. So at the time, I was actually in school. I was in college, so I was coming home from college classes at night after having worked all day, and that was the one thing that I would allow myself to watch. Because otherwise it was I was sleeping or I was doing homework. So that was the one of the few things I would watch was Heroes. And the first season was just captivating. And then the second season, like, what is going on? And then I didn't really watch it. And then when it came out on whatever it came out on, one of the services, I finished it, but I was finishing it out of spite just because I wanted it to end. But it made me just angry. So, but digress back. So
wait, before we digress, the season finale of the third season of Lost is one of the best experiences I've ever had watching a television show.
That's pretty bold. All right. Well, so you're saying I should go back and give it another chance?
Not necessarily. I mean, in this day and age, it's a huge time commitment. I mean, those early seasons of Lost, there's a lot of fun stuff in there. And they really play with it's like a flashback structure. They play with that quite a bit. And there are so many people in that show that went on to do tons of other stuff. It's fun to see them, but I don't know. There's lots of good stuff out there.
I just burned through 5 seasons of Madam Secretary. If I get into a show, I'll burn through it because I'll watch it in the background of all kinds of stuff. Is Lost something you have to pay a lot of attention to? Is it to your benefit to pay attention to it? Or is it better just to let it wash over you?
You know, I'd say pay attention, but don't do research.
No. Don't worry about that. Eventually I'm going to run out of things to casually watch by myself. Cause like Madam Secretary is not really Boyfriend Jesse's wheelhouse. So I kind of watch that when, I'm home alone and I'm like doing laundry or whatever. So, but anyway, back to the movie, finish the movie. We're almost there. But the girl, I think she's never named, is she? So it's just the girl through the whole movie, right?
I think so. I don't ever remember hearing her name.
Yeah. So, the girl, she's convincing him like, hey, this is a thing. I'm being framed. And then Sal's in his apartment and crazy dude, Cyrus Freer shows up, right? Cyrus show up or does she show up first? I don't think it matters. But
they show up at the same time because he's waiting for her. And all of a sudden
he tries to shoot Sal, right?
He gets hacked. So he knows the murderer is coming for him because he starts to see through the murderer's eyes. And then...
Oh, and he fires at the murderer,
yeah,
right?
Blind.
Yeah.
And and then they both show up, both... yeah, the girl and then the main creepy-faced hacker dude who...
Cyrus.
Yeah, had really no other purpose in the movie except to be the surprise bad guy.
He had no background at all. Nope. He's just... It's like shoehorned it in. So I wonder if there isn't more of this film that they cut for some reason. Because there's like a plot line that didn't happen. So this is where the movie... Like at this point, the movie is... Like, what the fuck is going... Like, why?
It was essentially revealing, like, an extra as the bad guy you've been searching for all along.
It's like one of those... It's what Murder by Death, where, you know, they introduce a character at the last moment just to blame him for everything.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it was.
So the audience gets misdirected. Which is like so insulting to me as an audience, as a watcher, as a viewer. It's just like, come on. Although I will confess clearly up to that point, I didn't know what was going on. So I guess mission accomplished?
Yeah.
Question mark?
There was no opportunity to figure out this mystery.
Yeah. So they end up shooting him to death a lot. Sal just shoots him and shoots him and shoots him and shoots him, which I guess is about right. You know,
there's a lot of talky-talky about why'd you do it, why me? And even after they did the Bond villain thing of explaining the whole thing, I still didn't understand. I was like,
yeah, no.
This makes no sense.
He was hacking to keep her anonymous, is what he said, right?
But yes, but also to frame her.
I agree. I'm like, it made no sense. So, at any rate, turns out it's all good. Sal gets rehired and reinstated. and he wants to reconcile his life and career, maybe. I don't know. He talks to the, there's a final scene where he's talking to the girl and she explains how she's done it, right? She basically is another master exposition about how the reason why she can hide is because she's everywhere. It's not that she's nowhere. It's that she's everywhere. She's, the little piece of her is everywhere. And as long as, you know, her little algorithms go together, she can't be really found.
Yes, this was an answer to a question nobody was asking.
Yeah.
Not anybody in the movie, not the audience.
Nope. To be fair, he asked how she did it, but I don't know that he would have understood the answer that she gave him anyway. So, again, not important to the plot, not important to the story. And, I mean, it made for a scene, I guess, that tied up, maybe. But, yeah, the last third of this movie just lost its way. I'll give this movie a B+ from my perspective. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful movie. The aesthetic and the universe. I want more of that. I would watch more. This movie was just great. This would be a great TV series with those effects. It would be a great kind of future movie. You'd have to have a better plot, however. You'd have to have a better gimmick. But the whole universe is someplace that I'm fascinated by. Granted, you know, Big Brother, bad. Surveillance, not so good. But ostensibly in the future, who knows what happens, and collapse of civilization, I don't know. But anyway, so was it worth it, Brother Drew?
Yeah, this movie's definitely worth it. I mean, it kind of fell apart right at the end. And I thought that was disappointing for the reasons you said. Is the world building that this movie accomplishes is really fascinating and really well done. You know, the aesthetics really match the themes of what the movie's trying to explore, with, you know, how technology has taken over everyone's life. At the same time, it's become increasingly unreliable because it is 100% relied on. But yeah, the plotting and the resolution of the mystery, I thought was really disappointing. Mostly because Amanda Seyfried did, I thought, a really good job in this movie. I mean, because she just oozed charisma. I mean, the entire movie, except until the very end, you think she is a cold-blooded murderer, but you're still kind of with her. Like, you don't want her to get caught. You want her to escape. And I think that would have been an even more interesting way to end the movie. Because what do you do with this character if she has not been redeemed or found out to not be the bad guy? Because I thought she was way more likable than Clive Owen.
Well, Yeah, because also the people that are getting killed are not great people anyway, because they're trying to hide things that have happened that they've actually done anyway. Sometimes very illegal things.
Right.
So,
right. And her entire, like, world philosophy is something that you can get behind. You know, she is trying to escape the surveillance state. You know, she kind of has libertarian ideals. She, you know, wants to help people, you know, cover up crimes that seemingly don't hurt anybody else. She's just trying to remain anonymous herself. She has, like, very strict business ethics. She won't look at information that she doesn't need to look at. So all of that, you know, it adds up to a character who you're with. You want to see her succeed. But also, you're struggling with the fact that she is a murderer. But I think the film kind of chickens out on making you, the audience, come to terms with that.
Yeah. A couple of things I wrote down. That they make the point that the analog things in the world are actually the hardest to delete.
Mm-hmm.
They make a point of that. But they make the joke either her philosophy is DFE, which is delete fucking everything. And then Sal has that great quote where he says, delete fucking everything, especially the fucking.
Yep.
And then I wrote down, Lester's dad. Oh, he was my favorite.
He was very entertaining.
He was, but he was also charismatic. Mm-hmm. He was intense. So his part was really well acted. So that actor gets thumbs up. Also, the soundtrack for this movie was great, I thought.
Yeah.
So the aesthetic that it helped, and it all tied together, the visual and the sound, amazing. It's unfortunate that the story falls apart, but I would still
recommend this movie though.
It
is really well done. You can certainly tell that it was crafted by the same dude who did Gattaca. You know, it has a lot of the same kind of stark futuristic feelings. Oh, another thought I had while watching this is this might be one of the last like set in the future movies we see where no one's wearing masks. I mean, that was something I found jarring. Is it's weird for me to think of a future now where people aren't more sensitive to the transmission of novel diseases.
Well, we're hoping that in 10 years this will all be a distant memory.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, we made it through the Spanish flu, right? And people lived and we moved on and kind of went back to a sense of normal. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what the future will hold. I mean, maybe this is the new normal. It's really hard to know. I can tell you it's exhausting. I can't mm-hmm. imagine what it's like having kids and being vigilant and being paranoid about that. Because as an adult, I know why I'm doing it. But as a kid, it's hard to understand, I know. So I can't imagine the stress that it puts on your family.
Yeah, my children have told me on their own without any prompting that they hate coronavirus.
Well, I think that's a fair, it's like,
yeah,
fair point.
Yeah, I think most of the world shares that perspective. It's just funny to hear it articulated like that.
Those of us who believe that it's real hate it. So, you know, there's that. Is your background Gattaca?
Yeah, I spent the whole time.
Sorry, I just noticed that. I was like, oh, very nice. Very nice. So, let's see. Do I have any housekeeping? No, I don't think I have anything for the podcast. Just same old, same old. It's been hotter than hell here. That's been unpleasant. But so my electric bill is going to be scary next month. But in good news, I think we've sold Derek's giant pressure washer.
Oh, congratulations.
So that'll be nice because that'll be a big chunk of change. So, and it'll be the hell out of my garage. So it's one less thing I have to worry about because it's on a trailer. It's giant because it's 200 gallon, 175, 200 gallon.
Yo, that's big.
Well, it's a self-heating electric start pressure washer. So it's giant. It's got a big hot water heater and a Honda engine that makes electricity, and we can turn a key and make it start, but you can pull start it too. But it is a professional grade. It was probably, I don't know how much it was. It was expensive. I know it was lots of money. So it'll be nice just to get it out of my garage and have some money for it. So fingers crossed. The guy is going to come back on Monday, I think Jesse said. So, I told Jesse how much I wanted for it. And I said, if you get anything more than that, you can keep the difference. So he was motivated to sell it too. So
nice. Did he get more than that?
He got more than I wanted. So,
good for him.
And he, I don't know where he started price wise, but he was like, I'm going to charge them. I'm like, that's a little high, I think, for that thing. And he goes, no. He'll let him talk me down. I'm like, all right. Well, just don't screw it up. Cause this is the only guy so far that's been interested. Although, you know, we're not exactly having a cavalcade of people through the house.
Right.
But now that there's room in the garage, or there will be, then it's going to be the great tool sorting. We're going to have to start going through tools and stuff. And then we still don't know about if we're moving or not. And I don't know if we're going to buy a house or not. I just don't know. So work's still crazy. So I don't know. can't imagine the stress of trying to move right now on top of everything else, but
there's a ranch available down the street from us.
What's the price?
$375 is what it's valued at. I don't know what they're asking for it.
That's about what I would, that's about what I'd end up paying for if I stay here. So
yeah,
I don't know. Though I do have a job here. I don't have a job in Alaska.
that helps. That helps pay a mortgage for sure.
Technically, I could do my job remotely now. So I've been working teleworking off and on. So our new software is progressing. So knock on wood, it keeps getting better and better. All of their support's like in Louisiana, though. So when I call, they're very slow talkers. So it's always I'm having to adjust. But the nice thing is that when I'm in at 6 o'clock in the morning, they're already at work too.
That is nice.
I'm also really not sure what I'm really starting to feel uncomfortable now about Christmas. So
yeah,
no, I'm not actually worried about Corona. I'm more worried about how we would even get tested at this point. So, because they are scaling back testing, so they're only going to test you if you're symptomatic. So flying won't qualify you for a test, but Alaska requires that you have a test to get on the plane.
Yeah, it does.
So I don't know how that's going to work. So hopefully there's some better mechanism in place by December.
You can take a test when you're here, but they're going to charge you $250.
The cost of business. Well, and the thing is, though, how long until the test comes back and we have to isolate until then? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll deal with it. I'm just, it's one of those things that I'm like, I just, you know, I get it. It's the future. Just got to get with it, I guess. But yeah, Oregon's cases are coming back up. So I think the governor's going to lock us down again. I think your mayor just closed restaurants again, right?
Yeah, we're on another temporary hunker down. I'm working from home again.
Yeah. Hey, flu shots are going to be out soon.
Sweet.
Looking forward to that, because that'll be another, like, I don't want a flu shot. Everybody better get a damn flu shot this year.
I am on flu shot duty this year because my wife took our children last year.
Uh-huh.
And they did not do well, which is weird because they've had shots before. I mean, babies and kids get shots all the way up until about 4 pretty regularly.
Right.
And they get a flu shot every year. But for some reason last year, I don't know what, something got in their heads. And then because they had never had a problem before, she took them in to have it done at the same time. So as soon as one of them started to freak out, the other one started to freak out, and they were reportedly screaming and crying, and they had to get tons of people in there to hold them down. And yeah, so my wife said she's never doing that again. it's my job now, so I will be on flu shot duty this year.
My heart goes out to you. Well, I wear a cup.
It's weird because they've never acted like that before.
Well, it can be scary and needles and I was not a fan of needles myself up till well into my teenage years. So
I remember I was at the hospital one time when they wanted to take some more blood from you and you had had enough.
Yeah, I was pretty sick though too.
Yeah.
Now I broke a nurse's tooth, so
yeah, probably a few fingers, I bet too.
Yeah, I don't know. I have vague. I was so sick. I have these weird memories, and at this point, I don't know if they were real or hallucinations.
I just remember they kicked me and Mom out of the room, and then so we were in the hallway, and I was like, "Why'd they kick us out? Because we can hear you fighting." And Mom was like, "Well, because it was not going to be very pretty, and they didn't want to traumatize us by having to watch it." You know, I was a kid, so I was like, "Oh, okay, I guess that makes sense." But also in my head, I was like, "Yeah, but I can still hear him."
Well, and that was the thing too. So yeah, that was such a weird, it was such a strange experience because the first 2 days I was in the hospital, I was in a room with basically a dead infant. They're just on life support. And that was creepy on its own. And then they moved me into a room with Alaska Native villager who had gotten run over by his brother on a snow machine. Mm. And his leg was broken in 17 places. So he had his leg pinned back together. Yeah. Like that whole apparatus thing. And he was probably, I don't know, 15, 16. And so there was a lot of shenanigans with him doing 16-year-old things. So that were probably inappropriate, but I don't know.
Wonderful.
He wasn't able to get out of bed though either, so you know he had a rough time anyway. But then yeah, just the whole like I didn't feel good, and they would come in and poke me, and they would wake me up to give me sleeping pills, which didn't make any sense. Anyway, there was just it was not a fun thing. But as it turns out, there is some because of Kawasaki's, there is some possible treatment for children who are getting corona because they're getting this severe inflammatory syndrome from corona, which they're able to kind of, it looks like they're able to kind of treat similarly to how they've been treating Kawasaki. So
interesting.
That's the good news. The bad news is that if you've had Kawasaki's as a young child, that you have to be careful because they say that as you become a late stage adult, whenever that is, that it comes back with heart damage. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. So if it was Kawasaki's, there's no diagnosis, right? So you never know. But anyway, as I was saying, flu shots, I was going to try and find some sage advice. What I was going to say was like, you have to do the dad thing where, I would take them separately. And I would make sure that you take them somewhere after, like super like Baskin Robbins or someplace they don't get to go. And you just fill them full of the best thing ever that they've had. Like, I don't know, some giant brownie sundae thing. Because once that happens to the first child, they will tell the second child. And then, you know, I think that's how mom and dad kind of divided and conquered with me, is that they distracted me with something shiny. So
I've tried to talk tough with my wife and just be like, yeah, that's fine. I'll take them. That's fine. They can cry if they want to. It's still going to happen. Yeah, I know that's not how it's going to go down.
I love your optimism, though. You get credit for it. I can't imagine.
I'm sure she knows I'm just peacocking, too.
Well, hey, you know, whatever works. And maybe they'll surprise you. Maybe this year, you know, you can just tell them, you know, on top of corona, we don't want you to get sick, so this is important. But I know, yeah, little kids, logic doesn't work.
Yeah, kids are weird. They just keep learning and evolving, and it's very frustrating because they're so unpredictable.
Because you never know what they've learned today.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, they endured shots when they were babies because they had to and didn't know any different. And then they got old enough to start understanding why it was happening, and they were cool with it because they believed you. But then they get old enough to be skeptical and to start to anticipate things. So they go through this weird stage where they are fearless because they don't know any consequences, to then being afraid of a lot of stuff because they kind of, you know, the first time they get seriously hurt, now they know that's a possibility. So then it's like this pendulum swinging and you never know. And then they're what? They're fucking going to be teenagers and that's going to be a nightmare. So who knows? I love children. It's the best.
Daughter teenagers are going to be rough.
I'm sure it's true. I'm sure it's going to be rough on one of us, either me or my wife.
I think it's going to be tough on you.
Yeah,
maybe. I hope not. I hope they're angels for both of you. But know that when it's safe to fly, you can send them to Portland if I'm still living here. If I'm living in Anchorage, you can send them to my house and we'll spend the night.
Yeah.
I'll go get them tattoos or something.
No, you're supposed to deprogram them, remember?
Yes. Exactly. Yes. I remember. But no cigars and scotch in the background.
In happy news, we now own kittens.
Do you have them or you just own them?
We took possession of them yesterday. Yesterday?
Oh.
The day before yesterday? No, yesterday.
It all blurs together these days. Yeah. And how little are they?
They were born in January.
So they're decent size. They're not teeny, teeny, tiny.
No, they're not in the palm of your hand, but they're still...
precious.
They're like the first part of Lion King Simba stage.
So, and how is Bruno handling them? Or rather, how are they handling Bruno?
We've kept them separate so far.
You haven't introduced him at all?
Only accidentally.
I understand.
There was a claw swipe at a nose this morning through the gate at the top of our stairs.
Well, that, you know, potentially that it'll only take once. And because Griffin, he hasn't been around cats at all. Mm-hmm. But Bo, my roommate, had a cat, and Bo cornered the cat, and the cat just hauled off on his face. And then he was forever afraid of cats. He was like, because he would chase the cat, and then the cat would stop, and he'd be like, "Oh, I was just joking," and then he would back up. So, but it only took once that cat clobbered him, and he never went after that cat again.
Yeah, we've got two cats. One of them is he's super chill about the change in scenery and. All he wants to do is explore and play. And then the other one, his sister, she's really pissed off. So she is not all that friendly yet and doesn't want anybody to come near her and wants to hide from all of us. I'm working on her. She's my project.
Yeah, that'll change. Now, do your daughters each have a cat or are they just shared?
They're family cats. Otherwise, they're both going to want the friendly one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you had Shadow.
Yeah, that was a great cat.
For you.
Yeah.
And have they been named?
They have been named. Adele and Elton.
That's adorable.
Thank you.
Who named them? Be honest.
It was a collaboration.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to go with Adele and Chester, but I was overruled.
Chester for Linkin Park?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
I knew Chester, what, Beddington, Beddingfield?
Beddington, yeah.
Okay. Beddington, yeah. I think Elton's a better choice, though.
As it turns out.
Well, Elton's still alive, at least.
That's true.
Maybe. Maybe.
As far as we know.
I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe he's dead for years. Who knows? Let's see what else. I don't think I have anything else. Let's see. Next week, you're off.
Yeah, you and Eric are doing Capricorn 1.
Yeah, that's Eric's pick. I don't know what... I've never seen it, so it'll be fine. New to me.
I haven't either.
So it'll be good. I mean, I know of it, but I haven't seen it. It's one of those... It's one of those that I probably should have seen, but haven't. Other movies in that realm were like the Logan's Run, and there's another one. I can't remember, but never seen him, but should. I also have to go to the DMV that day. Oh, man, next Friday is going to be rough.
That's no good. You actually have to go to the DMV?
I have to go to... So my license, my 10 years is up.
Yeah.
Because Oregon doesn't have the real ID, but by October we will be required to have it to fly. I have my passport, but I would be more comfortable if I had an actual real ID. So I have the DMV here is all by appointment only right now. And so I have an appointment, but they gave me a list of stuff that I have to bring. I got to remember to do that. So it'll be a different experience going to the DMV, having an appointment. So, but yeah, I have to go do the whole, like, I got to get a vision test and I'm getting a new license. And I think I've had my license for, I think it's 15 years now. So it's old because it was 10-year issue and then they give a 5-year extension. They want an updated picture. Go figure.
I'm sure you look exactly the same.
No, my passport picture. I look like I'm an Amish serial killer. So, I'll find a picture. It'll be fun. Otherwise, and then and then you and Brother E are what, bad times. What's that?
Bad times at the El Royale.
What's that about?
It's about the convergence of several travelers at a hotel.
This is a horror movie, I assume?
No.
No?
I think you'd like it. It's got a bonkers performance by Chris Hemsworth.
Well, that might be worth it. And then in the line of fire, huh? All three of us. All right.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
All right. All is lost. What is that?
That is a Robert Redford sailing movie.
I like Robert Redford. Not so much on the sailing, but so it's not Dead Calm, right?
No, but when I watched Dead Calm, it made me want to watch All Is Lost. That's a movie I haven't seen it, but it's been on my list for probably 8 years, 7 years.
Excellent. I've never seen it either. So cool. So it's not a recent Redford film. It's older.
Correct.
Older being 10 years.
I mean, yeah, he's still old.
There are far, far older Redford movies.
Yeah, so. I think it's 2011 or 2012.
Okay, that's cool. I'll be looking for it then. Oh, last Friday, actually. We recorded last Thursday, right, I think? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So Friday, my office supplies came in. I'd ordered new wheels for my office chair here at home, my home office chair, because I had crappy casters that came with it, and over time they get clogged with crap, and for whatever reason they also weren't tall enough anymore. I've worn something down in them, so the center post has been dragging on the carpet that I have down in my office. So I wanted taller casters, basically, so I was not scraping the floor anymore. But I found rollerblade wheels for my chair, and it is amazing. It's so much better. It is amazing. I could race this chair now. I love it. So highly recommend it. You can buy super fun casters for your office chairs. I didn't get the glow in the dark ones. I just got the regular ones, but they're pretty cool.
That does sound fun. And that reminds me of some fun housekeeping. My girls saw some boys in the neighborhood on skateboards, so they wanted some, and because they're spoiled, we said sure, and we just got them some skateboards.
Did you get them Kevlar for their arms and legs?
No. They do have helmets. I mean, they have some rollerblades that have like the elbow pads and knee pads, but the really fun part is it's one of those moments where my children get to realize the limitation of their parents, because they just assumed that they could get skateboards and then we could show them how to skateboard. I'm like, I don't know. I've never been on a skateboard.
Boyfriend Jesse can tell them all the things.
Figured he could.
But he spent many days this week and last week. He came home the other night and said, I did all these things. And he rattled off this. And I'm like, I have no idea anything you just said. I'm sure it was awesome, but I don't have any clue what any of those things were. So I'm officially old. I got nothing. So yeah. And then I think he rolled his eyes at me and walked out of my office. So.
Yeah, the look of betrayal on my oldest daughter's face when she realized I could not give her any like really useful instruction beyond give it a try and see how it feels. It was like a knife into my heart.
She realized you're mortal, man.
Yeah.
This is where it begins. Mm-hmm. And the other really adulting thing was I needed, because I have two monitors in my home office here. Actually, just two TVs, but I'm using them as monitors. But my desk is a very fancy desk, so I don't want to drill holes in it for a monitor stand. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't get a clamp monitor stand because the back of the desk is flush to the top of the desk.
Oh.
So there's no way to clamp one on.
Right.
So I would have to get arms basically that clamped on the side, except there's maybe a half an inch of overhang on the right and left side. So I've been looking for months for something, some kind of monitor stand that would work. And I found one on Amazon. Thank God. I found one that is just completely self-contained tabletop. It's glass base. And it's on my desk and it holds up two monitors and I'm so thrilled. I don't have to drill holes in anything. So if you ever very end cool. up home officing and expanding, I can steer you in the right direction. If anybody needs a dual monitor stand, it's pretty amazing. So I'm very, and it wasn't expensive. It was only like $60. So
nice.
I was so stoked. So my office is really, now that I'm working from home a lot more, it's, you know, the first couple of weeks I was doing it, I'm like, well, this will be fine. I'll just, you know, I just have these TVs sitting on my desk. And then by the third week, I'm like, this is not tenable. I cannot sustain this. But now the monitors are like, I can look like my line of sight is straight. So I don't have come home with neck ache. I don't leave my office with neck ache.
It's nice. I'm still on the laptop at the dining room table.
Yeah, one of my other coworkers like, oh no, I'm sitting in the kitchen, on a kitchen chair. I'm like, oh yeah. No, yeah. I can't do that because I'm spending, you know, 2 and 3 days at home. I can't. I gotta have. It has to be comfortable, especially because I'm working all day. So, I feel for you, because I had to get them my office to give me a docking station for my work laptop because I can't work on the laptop. I can't be productive.
Yeah.
I can't type fast enough on it. And the screen is too small and I'm a prima donna. I know. I'm just like, no, can't do it. And once you've worked for a long time with two monitors, going to one little laptop monitor is really difficult.
You know, what's been really fun is when I was back in the office and I was back with my two monitors set up because we were still doing social distancing, we were still having to do a lot of video conferencing. And, you know, there's a shortage of webcams, so you can't buy a decent webcam. So I was still having to use my laptop monitor because I had to flip it up, even though it was docked. But what I learned was when I did that, I actually now have three screens.
Yes.
So I could, and I could configure it in a way that was actually useful so that I could keep like my Microsoft Teams like below my actual productive monitors on the laptop screen and just do all my team stuff on that and then do real work on the big monitors without having to toggle back and forth all the time, which was awesome. I loved it. And then we got sent home.
Well, someday again. My work laptop has a built-in microphone and camera too, but for some reason it's locked down and I can't get the camera or the microphone ever to work. So I just don't even bother anymore. And when I'm in the dock, you can't use it at all. And my webcam, I have an expensive Logitech webcam. It was top of the line when I bought it, and it's not that old. And it's not compatible for whatever reason with, we use Google Hangouts as a base for almost everything. Hmm. WebEx or Google Hangouts. Camera's just not compatible through Windows, so... and I'm not allowed to use my personal laptop for work. So I'm just like, people are like, we never get to see you. I'm like, not my fault. Like, I'm a computer guy and I can't get it to work. So it ain't me. It's Windows. And because Windows is managed by our organization, I can't get in any of this stuff to get it to work. So one of these days I'll call the help desk. But at this point, I'm fine with them not seeing me. I call in. They still hear my voice. And they get a picture of my dog because that's my icon on my Google, my work Google. So
nice. That's enough.
Have my picture.
That's all they need.
Yeah. No, they see my dog and they're like, hey, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Let's see. What else happened? Anything else happened this week? No. Just same old, same old.
Well, that's good.
But, yeah, the good news, bad news is that that brings all kinds of wasps out. And this is the season, apparently, for hornets and wasps to be nest building. So that's great.
Oh, we had a bad year up in Willow. I had to take down four different yellow jacket nests.
Ooh. Were they big or are they just starting establishing?
Medium. So we had a bunch of old ones, just like the remnants of them, like on our eaves. Mm-hmm. And so for a while, we're just like, oh, is that one I hadn't noticed before? And then you start to look at it and like, is it getting bigger? And you're like, oh, yeah, it is getting bigger. Oh, yeah. And there's traffic. Got it. And then we had one that was actually in the eaves itself. We just saw this constant flow of yellow jackets like going in this little hole in our roof. And we're like,
yep.
Well, that's a problem. So, yeah.
Yeah. They're industrious here, man, because on the deck that Derek built, he, in his typical kind of throw everything together slapdash kind of fashion, when he nailed the top railing to the deck, he used nails that were too long.
Hmm.
So the nail points are pointing out the bottom of the railing.
Yeah.
And the hornets will build nests starting on the point of the nails.
Sure.
Which is, it's just amazing. Because overnight, this thing will pop up and it will be huge all of a sudden. Just overnight. It's terrifying. Because we have mud wasps here. I don't know if you have them in Alaska. I don't remember.
I hope not. That sounds terrible.
They are. They're black and they are scary looking and they are not friendly creatures. So, but they will build a nest fast. It's scary. So I've been making Jesse, I told Jesse, I'm like, you have to kill them because me out there trying to kill them, I'll have to have the brake cleaner in one hand and my EpiPen in the other. So,
yeah, we learned that from Mr. Holmes. It can be deadly.
Oh, did we? I didn't know anything about that. Did he have a bee thing?
Yeah, he was almost killed by the wasps, right?
I don't know this story.
Is it Sherlock Holmes? The old Sherlock Holmes movie we watched?
Oh, sorry.
I should have been more clear about my reference.
I thought you were talking about Bjarni Holm, who taught me geometry at service.
Oh, no. He taught me geology.
Yes, because he was the geology and geometry teacher.
Yeah.
Inexplicably.
He was a nut.
He was definitely... But English was not his first language, so,
nope.
You know, he was very odd.
He had a lot of European sensibilities, like forgetting to take out the topless beach photos when he was showing us his vacation slides.
Oops. My highlight of Mr. Holmes's geometry class was, I won't name the person, because that would probably get... That would not be good, but one of my classmates, I may have told this story before, one of my classmates was so hard up for lunch money that he would beg people for, like, what can you dare me to do for money so that if I do it, I can have lunch money? And so class full of, like, this would have been my sophomore year, maybe? Was it my freshman year? It must have been my sophomore year. Yeah, because I took geometry and algebra 2 the same year. That would have been my sophomore year. Because I was crazy. By the way, hate geometry. Hate it with a passion to this day. I hate geometry. Hate it. Algebra 2, loved it. Anyway, I digress. This kid basically got the class to pony up. I think it was, I want to say it was $20, which would have been a lot to us, to me anyway. We got collectively like $20 if he wet his pants in class. Because nice. That's how cruel and sadistic we were. And of course, he did it. And so he did it, but in one of those, you know, he was sitting in one of the plastic chairs that mm-hmm. we have in the classrooms. And then for the rest of the year, that was the P chair. So we would just all, like, you would have to show up to class early because you didn't want to have to sit in the P chair. So it was just ridiculous. I can't even believe the things. Like
high school kids.
I don't know. There are stories of what they did to the poor German teacher before the German teacher that I had. So they drove her crazy to the point where she had a breakdown.
Oh,
yeah. They gave her a lot of problems. Like kids would crawl out of the because it's service. The classrooms were on the south side of the building where the lawn is. And so kids would crawl out of the classroom windows after roll was taken, and then they would come back in the door, and she would be confused because she thought that she'd already taken their roll. And so then they would say, no, I didn't say I was here. And so it was this bit constant. They would just drive her crazy, and eventually they drove her to the point of having a breakdown. So they were nice.
Kids are cruel.
Oh, service. I don't miss any of that. Not one bit. Miss some of my friends. Don't miss that place at all. I see pictures of it now, though. It looks very different.
It does. The soccer club that my kids did this summer was at Trailside Elementary, which is right next to service.
Yeah.
It was not there when I went to school.
Nope.
But yeah, so I was driving by service, and yeah, our kids, my daughter's got a kick out of hearing me and Jennifer say things like, yep, that's where we met. And they wanted to hear all those stories.
I think when I started, they had just stopped the smoking lounges for students.
That's funny, because where Trailside is now was the smoking hill.
Of course, because you couldn't do it in the school anymore.
Right.
But the hallways that were the hallways that were between the pods, the main building and the pods, had those like side arboretum areas that were outdoors, and that's where people would go smoke when it was allowed, because it was allowed.
That's nuts.
I know. It's crazy. How did we ever live?
Also, I don't even know. Smoking.
I don't even know if it's, is it a closed campus now, I wonder? Do they allow people off campus now?
I have no idea. Of course,
now it doesn't matter. There's probably no school. Is your school going, I think you guys said October?
We are starting the last week of August. We are from schooling from home for the first quarter at least. I don't see that changing.
Yeah. Our governor has said November, I think, is when they're going to reevaluate. So I don't know what some of my workers are going to do, because you know, they can't be out, but they don't, you know, don't have anything to do with their kids. So
right.
You'll only have so much leave time, and we still have patience. Not trying to be a hard ass, but
yeah, it's going to be challenging for everybody with school age kids.
Yeah. So, but I'm just hoping Christmas will be fine. I'll have to figure out something good this year for Christmas. So, and then, oh, Angela will be there. So Gavin. All right. I'm going to make a note now. start shopping next month. Yay.
Yeah, get a jump on it.
Yeah, because I got to ship it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll get it up there early. So, all right. Well, I won't keep you. Anything else, though? Anything? Brother E, you need to watch this movie.
It's a quick one.
Yeah. It's really only an hour 30. I don't know why it says an hour 40. There are 10 minutes of credits, though, but it is not an hour 40. It was like 93 minutes long, so, which I appreciated.
Yeah. So.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we gon' leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we gon' leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brother Sanderson, so sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome.